summer on the way, so it's time to start planning your summer vacation, would you think about a holiday in North Korea? The Hermit Kingdom of North Korea is the most closed society in the world, but it's increasingly attracting the attention of adventurous tourists, and it's legal to go there. But is it ethical? The Wire's Marty McCarthy has more.
For the defence of the country and people's happiness, whenever the US imperialists resorted to high-handedness with regard to Korea, it put them to shame, displaying the wisdom and mettle of...
It's been a tough year for the world's only remaining Stalinist country. It suffered the death of second-generation dictator Kim Jong-il, a failed missile launch, famine is on the rise, and only last month, mass flooding that killed over 500 people. With its continued anti-West attitude and its reputation for strict military control, North Korea does not exactly top the list of dream holiday destinations. Yet the Hermit Kingdom is fast becoming the new playground for adventure tourists. British-owned Koryo Tours is the world's leading travel company to North Korea. General Manager Simon Cockrell says the events of the past 12 months have generated a lot of interest in the country.
But certainly Kim Jong-il passing away and the media storm that created, that did increase the numbers of hits on our website and the numbers of people booking tours. But it was increasing generally anyway.
His job has taken him to North Korea 115 times. Each year, companies like Simon's take 3,000 Westerners to North Korea, mostly British and American. But why travel to North Korea?
The main reason is simply to see what it's like in a place that people have heard so much about but know so little about. And although they know by going on a tour there they're not going to see and experience every single thing about the country, they just like to see a tiny little bit of ground reality. Plus, the third reason is to show off a bit. None of your mates have been, and when they're talking about their summer in Bali, you can say, well, I spent a week in North Korea, and suddenly you're the centre of attention.
But wherever North Korea is concerned, controversy soon follows, and the tourism industry is no exception. Considering the crippling effect the many sanctions the US and United Nations have imposed on Pyongyang, some critics believe tourism is one of the few sources of income left for the oppressive regime.
Visiting North Korea, you are essentially providing one of the only revenue streams the country has available to it.
Peter Hinton is a project manager at the University of Sydney. While living in Beijing, he developed an interest in North Korea. He says it's tourist dollars that fund a department known as Room 39, responsible for financing Pyongyang's illegal income-generating operations.
The room is set up to generate money through illicit activities for the purposes of funding the lifestyle of the elite in North Korea. So, for instance, it's well established that Room 39 is responsible for the manufacture and distribution of fake pharmaceuticals throughout the world. They also coordinate the sale of arms, so in other words, embargo breaking. They're known to counterfeit supernotes. North Korea is one of the runs one of the most sophisticated counterfeit operations for US currency in the world. So when North Korea needs money, Room 39 prints it for them.
Do you think tourists are aware that this is where some of their money is going?
No, I don't. I think the primary concern of tourists visiting North Korea is to have a good story to tell people. And I think before people actually book their flight now, they need to actually think about where that money's going. And, you can't criticise the regime and the treatment of its people on one hand and then book your holiday to North Korea the next.
But tour operator Simon Cockrell rejects this idea.
It's obviously axiomatic that if money from tax goes to central government and the central government distributes that tax downwards to their agencies, then money's fungible, isn't it? That's a slightly nonsensical statement.
Simon also rejects the criticism that North Koreans are not allowed to interact with foreigners who go on these tours and believes this exposure opens North Koreans up to the world.
It's so demonstrably false. The people who go, especially if you go on a holiday, they do interact with local people. And it's very easy to say, well, they're all actors and so on, but this is just aimless conspiracy theories that aren't based really on reality. It's widely believed by people that go that the locals are not allowed to talk to foreigners. And it's the kind of place that generates this kind of mentality that as soon as if you see someone, you try to talk to them and they don't want to talk to you, then therefore you assume that it must be because they're not allowed. But that's not really borne out by experience of really going there.
What's the most unique experience you've had in North Korea?
That's a good question. I would say playing cricket or...
How did the North Koreans take to you playing cricket? Did they join in? Did they understand?
Well, we had people to join in, yeah. We had a hastily formed Pyongyang cricket club. It was a handful of foreigners. It was mainly people who work in the tourism industry. And we played in a public park. So throughout the day it took place. A lot of people came by and watched. And it was also on a children's day, a national holiday. So over the course of the day, you know, a good few thousand North Koreans witnessed the exciting and thrilling non-stop game of cricket.
Do you think it was the first time cricket's ever been played in North Korea?
Wisden disagrees. Wisden claims it's been played before, but that was a bunch of diplomats playing French cricket in a car park or something like that. This is certainly the first cricket tournament to have ever taken place in North Korea.